Brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name, I'm reading from Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 8. And Jesus said, I tell you, whoever declares publicly that he belongs to me, the Son of Man will do the same for him before the angels of God. But whoever denies publicly that he belongs to me, the Son of Man will also deny him before the angels of God. Anyone who says a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who says evil things against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When they bring you to be tried in the synagogues or before governors or rulers, do not be worried about how you will defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. It was on October 16, 1555, that two of the great reformers of the church in England died. Many such martyrs took place during the reign of Queen Mary, but these two in particular stuck out because they were bishops and theologians of the church, Nicholas Ridley and Hugh Latimer. On the day itself, as they were led out of Oxford, they comforted each other, of course, they prayed, and as they got close to the place of execution, it is reported that they overheard the older man, Ridley, saying to the younger Latimer, be of good heart, brother, for God will either assuage the fury of the flames or give the strength to abide it. When all the preparations had been made and the faggots about to be lit one more time, the officer in charge of the proceedings invited the two men to recant. They, of course, answered that they could not. To do so would be to deny Jesus Christ. And then, as the fires began to lick around them, it is again reported, and these words have come down to us, so famous through the annals of the church's history. Now the younger man, Latimer, said to Ridley, be of good courage, good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace here in England that shall never be put out. That candle, that light is still burning. When we think of a martyr or martyrdom, we naturally think of such as these. But it was not so at the beginning. Our English word, martyr, martyrdom comes from the Greek, martyrs, martyrion. And in the New Testament, it's meant to be a witness. And in the theological sense of the New Testament, it's meant to be a witness to the fact of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. However, it contained within it the thought not only to be a witness, to tell what you knew, what you saw, what you heard the apostolic preaching about Jesus Christ, but also to back up that witness with one's life in such a way as to demonstrate its hope, its comfort, and in particular, its confirmation and truth. And it also, in that light, contained the thought that one would have one last opportunity by one's life to demonstrate one's faithfulness to that witness, that it was true and sure by the way he met death. Of course, in time, this latter meaning took over the others, and it didn't become long before the word was almost exclusively used only for those Christians who died in, quote, a martyr's death. But every Christian in the New Testament sense is to be a martyr in the original sense, to be someone who uses his life to witness to Jesus Christ and backs it up with what he says, what he does, how he lives, his ambitions, and then gives his final seal to his witness by the way he meets death, whether that be dramatically and martyrdom so-called, or whether it be a peaceful sleeping death. Now, Luke does not, of course, use the word martyr or martyrs, martyrian here in our text, but he certainly and very aptly gives a description of such a martyr, of Jesus Christ, the one who openly declares, publicly declares Jesus Christ, who owns him, and contained within that thought of publicly declaring Jesus Christ to his world is the idea that he would back it up by the way he lived and died. And would to God, brothers and sisters, we had such a spirit today in the church. Isn't it, if not the sin, certainly one of the sins that we sadly are involved in, we are not witnessing to Jesus Christ in this pregnant sense. We hardly can even find the strength to talk about him in our daily living, let alone to dedicate our life to that talking about him, to that witnessing of him as we share the gospel with others. It's the sin of our synod, it's the sin of the church, it's your sin and mine. And that we should take this seriously, it's very interesting to note that Luke, however he does it, connects the sin against the Holy Spirit to the sin of not publicly confessing Jesus Christ.